Today we're going to talk about theft and stealing. And really we're going to talk and focus on the formation of our character. We all know that stealing is wrong. But yet, like so many of us, I'm guilty of stealing. I might have cheated on a test before where I stole someone's answers. Have any of you ever done that? Don't raise your hand. But I don't know that I ever had anyone steal from me the answers I had on my test. I don't know how that all works out. But have you ever been driving into a parking lot at a shopping center, especially during the holiday season, and you're looking for that parking spot, and you're going around and around and around trying to find a spot just anywhere, and all of a sudden you see one, and you drive real quick around, and you come around, and that person is backing out, and you put your blinker on, indicating you have laid claim and possession to that parking spot, only to have, when that person pull out, someone else pull in. And then they pretend that they did not see you as you drive by. Anybody had that happen before? Doesn't feel good to be stolen from. What about, have you ever been to Waffle House? And there at Waffle House, they have all those little jams, and you eat your meal, and you might have one or two jams, but then you thought, hey, there's four or five or six left. I think I'll just take those and put that in my pocket. Or how many people have ever been to Taco Bell and you had two or three packs of hot sauce that you had with your meal, but as you were leaving, you saw a big pile of packets of hot sauce. You're like, well, they're out there for the customers, so you grab like a handful, maybe two, and stuff them in your pocket. Some of you are going, oh, I think I got some at my house. I'm going to put that away before I get John to come over the next time. Or had a place in line stolen, you're in line. Boy, I remember at school being in the lunch line and having people cut in front of me. Or how many of you, don't raise your hand, but street signs, any of you ever stolen a street sign before? I'm very, very tempted because I want so bad to steal the sign on the street that I live on that's Myatt Lane, because that's my mother's maiden name, and I want to send it back to them so bad. But if I did that, all of you would know who did it, so I'm not going to do it. But I do remember one time when I was a younger man, there was a Nike sign, a big one, a banner on top of a shopping store, a shoe sales store. And me and my buddies thought that sign that said, just do it, was speaking to us. Like we were thinking we would like to have that sign. And the sign said back, just do it. So that's what we did. We just did it. We took that sign down and we stole the sign and we hung it up at school along with some other things written on the sign. But anyway, not at ACU. I behaved better while I was there. It's called positive peer pressure. How many of you have stolen a roll of toilet paper from the church here? Don't raise your hand. I just want you to know you're in good company with my wife, Mindy. She said she brought it back. I hope not that one. Okay, but maybe a different one. Suzanne does it all the time. Just kidding. Fishing in someone's pond without permission. How tempting it is to see a deer on the other side of the fence right there so close by. Or maybe having in your possession, if you're a fisherman or a hunter, something more that's over the limit. All of those things are acts of theft. I was thinking a lot about theft this week, obviously, in preparation for their sermon, and I read a story about some thieves. It's becoming more and more common to steal manhole covers. I'm like, why would you steal manhole covers? Number one, that puts the public in danger, vehicles in jeopardy. But there's actually guys that have cut out holes in the bottom of their truck. They'll drive over a manhole and lift it up through the hole and take it because it's a really heavy piece of metal, and they'll sell it at a metal collection spot. So anyway, if there are any manhole covers in El Campo that are stolen this week, I know it's from someone in our church because you would have never thought of that until I said it. So I'm watching all of you. My eyes are on you, especially you, Steve Perry. But anyway, according to Katie Hill, author of an article entitled 10 Things Americans Steal the Most, dated November the 4th, 2015, in MarketWatch Online Magazine. Notice that I gave credit to the source. Just didn't want to steal this morning. That she talks about in this article about the 10 most common things that Americans steal today. Do you know what the number one thing that Americans steal today? Do you have any idea? You want to take a shot at it? Time? You're probably right, Ken. It's not listed in the article, but I bet you're right. Time being a big issue. Anybody else want to take a shot at what the most common thing is that's stolen? All right, I'll go ahead. You may be thinking of it. Well, maybe you shouldn't be thinking of it, but wine. Wine is the most common item that's stolen in America today. Minnie came home one time from shopping at HEB, and she goes, "You are not going to believe this. I saw a lady at HEB steal a bottle of wine, John. She had real nice clothes on. It was a cheap bottle of wine. It was only $2 or $3. She said, but I sat there and watched that lady take a wine bottle and stuff it down in her pants and walk out the store. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. It is the most common thing that's stolen. Wine, number two, makeup. Number three, facial cream. Number four, sportswear. Number five, sunglasses. Do you get the idea that women do a lot of stealing? And it's actually true. Women, on average, steal more than men. It's just that the things that men steal are three times more valuable than the things that women steal. Anyway, number six was mobile phone accessories. Number seven is razor blades. I guess dudes do steal after all. Number eight, intimate apparel. We're back to women again. Number nine, DVDs and video games. Number 10, power tools. I was telling Edward this past week about today's lesson about stealing, and he told me just last week that someone had stolen his credit card. And I asked him, I said, Edward, did you report it to the authorities? He goes, no. I said, well, why not? He says, because the thief is spending less than my wife. I might have embellished that story a little bit. Christine, I hope we're still on good terms. But anyway, getting something for nothing has a strong appeal, doesn't it? I'm still looking for that money tree, aren't you? I would love to find that money tree. Getting something for nothing really does have a strong appeal. Today's command is very simple, and it's really about our character. And God says, if you're going to be my treasured possession, if you're going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, if you're going to be that group of people that I can show off to the rest of the world on how to live peaceful and godly lives together in holy communion, then I do not want you stealing. You shall not steal. That's what God says. And for the church today, Jesus says to us, you are that city on a hill. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light to the world. And if you're going to be that group of people that I'm showing off on display for the rest of the world to learn to live an incredible life, then I need you to follow me and be loyal. Trust me. Listen to my voice than the nagging voices of anxiety that's in your head that creates that desire to want to take things that don't belong for you. There are three ways that we get things. Three ways we come into possessions. Anybody know what one of those would be? You work for it. You earn it. That's right. One way that you get possessions is you work for it and you trade your labor for money and then you purchase those things, all right? So that's clear, right? That's one way that you get things, is you work for it. Number two, how else do you come into possess? Yes. You are given a gift. Sometimes that comes in the form of inheritance. Sometimes that comes in just a general, the blessing of gift giving. And the third way that you come into possessions is to, what is it, Austin? Is to steal. Now, which one of those, Austin, which one of those three ways is wrong? Stealing, obviously. Hey, now how do you, it's the eighth commandment. So I was told that Miss Jan teaches y'all, when you do the eighth commandment, do y'all do something like this? Or how, do you do the eighth commandment on your fingers like this? Why is it this way? Because if you steal in some countries, they will cut off your thumbs. Austin, remember that. So we don't want to steal. So I'm thinking if Austin can get that message, I bet there's hope for the rest of us that are in here today. We want to possess things as Christians, as God's people, through labor, through skill, through good judgment, and this is the tough one, through self-denial, and through good fortune. That's how we want to come into the possession of things, through labor, skill, good judgment, self-denial, and good fortune. I keep, you know, past week, Rebecca went to a dentist and to fix something, and I thought, that little piece of wire, after my insurance pays this, you want me to pay $150? And I thought, that is robbery. This is wrong. And then I thought, you know, thinking about today's lesson, I mean, how long does it take for someone to go to school, to college, to dental school, and then do their training, and then they begin their practice? Folks, they're not making money till they're around 30 years old or so. I see. We think about, you know, how much doctors make. When you think about the denial for yourself, the denial of that nice car or that nice truck or this house until you get into your 30s. And so self-denial, you know, delaying gratification is something that it's beneficial for us in our lives. So, you know, a lot of people steal simply because they're lazy and they want it now. And so as Christians, God says, and he's always said, that stealing is wrong. Stealing is a real problem in America today. It's a real problem. The Chamber of Commerce estimates that 75% of employees steal from their employers. That's incredible. Shoplifting accounts for 35% of inventory shrinkage. Do you know what inventory shrinkage is? It's the difference between the amount of money that a retailer should make versus what they actually make. And there's about a 35 to 40% shrinkage. No, I may have that wrong. All I know is the shrinkage is significant. So here's the deal. I can't remember the statistic on that. But here's the big deal. People think it's not a big deal to steal from retail store because it's not a person. And so it's not as bad. Well, that retail store has to make a decision. They have to decide, do we want to go bankrupt and just absorb the losses that have incurred and go out of business, or do we want to stay in business? And if they want to stay in business to recoup the losses that comes from stealing, it requires them to do what? To raise the prices of the product. So you and I, as customers, end up paying more for products because in America, thievery is a big problem. And so when you steal, it doesn't matter if you steal from a person or you steal from a business. Even then, I want you to realize you are still, I'm not saying you, church. Well, I'm using that like, y'all are bad people. I'm saying when people steal, when society steals, they steal from people. Anytime you steal something, it's always from someone. So, you know, why do people steal? Maybe they're destitute. You know, if those basic needs are not being met, like food and clothing, people to steal. But I'll tell you this, if you ever find yourself in that position to where your basic needs are not being met, I have always discovered that if you're willing to work, people are willing to help you even more. Amen? If you demonstrate goodwill, that you'll do whatever it takes, I have found that people's generosity will magnify and multiply and be a blessing to your life because you are willing to do that. And so to sit back and go, I'll just steal from others, and you make that the path of your life. Listen, the person ultimately that you're stealing from is yourself. Bible tells us some of our sins go out ahead of us, and some of our sins trail behind us, but you will be found out. And the Bible also says, a man reaps what he sows. God's not going to be mocked. There's a way that the world in which God has made works. God's not going to be mocked. A woman, man, whether you're still in a lot or still in many, many things, it doesn't matter. You'll reap what you sow. So every time people steal and compromise their character, they are setting themselves up for failure as an individual. I just hope that you steal when the consequences aren't so great. So like me, you can learn some valuable lessons in life, like how to pay back a store for their just do it sign. Okay, that was supposed to be a little bit funny. I want you to think about this with me from Scripture. The story from the very beginning is a story of theft. Remember God, the creator, God, the worker, creating the world, and then he creates you and I in his image, and he says, I want to give you this. Y'all remember that story? Now, what does that tell us about God's nature? God's not a taker, he's a giver, he's generous. If you and I live in the image of God, as God has created us to be, generosity is a natural outflow of being made in the image of God. Amen? So God said, he gives this to the man and to the woman. Work the ground, make it produce, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, enjoy this. And remember, there was someone that came along, a serpent, the devil, a deceiver that lied so that he could steal what was not his to possess, so that he could steal away loyalty that Adam and Eve had with God. And as a result of that, what else is in the story of Scripture reminds us that Adam and Eve stole? Not only does the serpent steal, but Adam and Eve stole. They took something that was forbidden. It was not theirs to possess. It belonged to Almighty God. And they took it. The story in Scripture, Judas. Judas is a thief. And he steals. Matter of fact, remember the story of Mary Magdalene, who had the alabaster jar of the nard perfume. And she broke it and she anointed Jesus with the contents that were incredibly valuable. The way I understand it, it was worth, that little vial of pure nard was worth a year's wages. And she broke the vial open and she anointed Jesus with that very expensive perfume. Judas was incensed, the Scriptures tell us. He was incensed because, and then he says in the hearing of others, that could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And John tells us that Judas really wasn't interested in helping the poor because Judas helped himself to the money bag. He wanted that pure nard to be sold so that he, when he sold it, and held the money for Jesus and the rest of the disciples, that he might get a little cut off of that, you know, because he's the one that sold it. And so there's nothing good in Scripture that comes from stealing. A matter of fact, in the Gospel of John, John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And they will come in and they will go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Church family, do you hear what Jesus is offering in this passage for all of us? He's saying, if you want to experience peace and have your soul satisfied, where you're at rest, you're not anxious about what you have and what you don't have compared to what others do have. He said, if you come in through the gate into a relationship with me, you will find green pastures. You'll come in, you'll be safe at night, you'll go out, God provides for you. Your hearts are going to be at rest. There's another way to live, though, and it's the way of the original thief, steal, kill, and destroy. But the way of Jesus is that that you would have life and have it to the full. So when you and I adopt the character of Jesus and we uphold the right of individuals to own property, right? When the Bible says you shall not steal, it is implicitly stating that you and I have the right to, help me church, to own property and own possessions, right? And now there's all kinds of different forms of government out there that may take issue with this. You know, have y'all ever heard the definition of capitalism, socialism, and communism? You know, the definition of capitalism is you have two cows. Y'all are going to like this because we got some ranchers here. You've got two cows. So you sell one and you buy a bull, and then you have more calves. That's capitalism. Socialism is you've got two cows. The government, you keep one and the government takes the other. And then communism is you got two cows, the government takes both cows and decides how much cheese and milk that you'll get. All right? One of the things that Scripture points out for us, this is really important, is the right to ownership. When you think about what God does for Israel, church, this is really important. When God gave Israel the promised land, I want you to understand what he did. Is he set the Israelites up in business. He set them up in business. You can always provide for your family and your needs, and you can create extra with this land that I'm giving you. And remember what the Bible said, what I said earlier about labor and skill and responsibility and throw in a little good fortune there. The Proverbs is filled with all kind of wisdom to help the Israelites understand how to be productive in their lives. And there's the fool who is lazy, and there's the worker who is full of thrift and industry that gets out there in the early morning and gets things done. So look what God's done. God set Israel up in business, and then he says to to everyone within the community of Israel, the nation of Israel, you can't steal. You shall not steal. In other words, you have the right to possess, and that right shall not be infringed by the acts of injustice of your neighbors or other people, that you have the right to own this. But you know, when everything really comes down to it, and you think about why would people steal, I really think when you get to the heart of the matter, you have to answer this question. What's the ultimate good? What's the ultimate good? America and the values, some of the negative values of the land that you and I live in, and this is true not just of America, but all people of all places of all time, they would say that your self-worth is based on your net worth. And, hey, we all feel a little anxious about vulnerability. And we want to make sure that we're protected. And we believe that money empowers us to do that. And I would say that money does empower. But recognize as brothers and sisters in Christ that it's not the ultimate good. Anything that you and I do to replace God, to substitute God. So let's say we have a need. I need to feel secure. or I need to feel important, or I need to feel valuable, or I need to feel less threatened. And in your primary means of accomplishing those things becomes something other than God, you're participating in what the Bible calls adultery. Greed, Colossians 3 verse 5 says that greed is idolatry. Did I say adultery? That was last week. My brain gets confused. Oh, idolatry. That, now we're making sense. Greed is idolatry because you're substituting something for God. And so for Christians, as we think about, you know, how am I going to live? What's the character that God wants from me? Here's the primary good. What good is it, Jesus says, for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Jesus would also say, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And the reason that is so is because sometimes you can lose those possessions. And if you lose those possessions, have you lost your life? How many times have we read in the news about someone committing suicide because of bankruptcy? Someone committing suicide because of an enormous financial loss? That tells us exactly where our values are. It's based in the idea that I'm only as valuable as what my bank account says I am. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father says, I know the very number of the hairs that are on your head. Now, I know mine has a smaller number than many of you, but God still knows. He knows intimately everything about me and you. So really, when you think about theft and stealing, management, it really comes down to this. Do I trust God? Can I say it any simpler than that? Do I really trust God? So let me give you four things real quick. Four ways to live out the character of godliness with regard to wealth, possessions. You might call them habits, or these are commitments. Pray, worship, share, and be thankful. Let me say that again. It's just the opposite of taking the possessions of someone else. It's about... So commit yourself to this. Pray, which is worship. Work, share, and be thankful. What did Jesus teach us in the Lord's Prayer? Give us today our... See, that gets to the heart of trust, doesn't it? Do I really trust God to provide for my needs? And there's a story in Scripture about God providing bread every day. And he told the Israelites, don't gather more than what you need for today. And he was teaching them a very important lesson. I want you to trust me. Let me prove to you that I'll provide. And so prayer is one way to live this life. Number two, work. Work is good and it's godly. God's a worker. We're in his image. We're called to be workers. The Bible says, if you don't work... 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, if you don't work, if a man won't work, a man shall not, help me church, he shall not eat. And so prayer and work. Number three, share. Generosity is the very heart of the God that we worship. Scriptures say in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor for your sake, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Lee read a passage a while ago to the Ephesians, and he says, those of you that steal should steal no longer. You need to work. You need to work not only so that you can provide for your needs. Paul says to the Ephesians, you need to work because you're going to have then the ability to share. And the world becomes a different place. And finally, he says, be thankful. For Christians, Thanksgiving is not a holiday that occurs one time in 365 days. Thanksgiving Day is every day, every day. Be thankful for what you have. I remember 3 years ago, I guess, Mindy and I stopped at Bass Pro Shop on the way back from her mom and dad's after Thanksgiving. We had a Yukon full of stuff, and I've shared the story. We pulled into Bass Pro, and they're in us. San Antonio, and we went in to get one little item that wasn't going to take 3 or 4 minutes to run in and get. Rebecca had shot her first buck or second buck, and we were going to mount the horns, and I wanted a little plaque to mount those horns on. And so we're going to run in there real quick and get that. While we go in, somebody broke into our Yukon. I mean, when we filled out the insurance form of everything that was stolen, it was valued at over $8,000. I'm like, are you kidding me? How did we have that much stuff in that car? But I'm telling you, my wife can pack amazing things. But included in that was a shotgun that was specially fit for Eli. Computers, Minnie's arts and crafts stuff. There were two things that were stolen that were just irreplaceable to me. I don't care about some of the material stuff. But we had a deer that Hannah had harvested. The day before, we got it from the taxidermist. And it was a hunt that she and her grandpa did together. And you ought to get her to tell you the story about it sometime, because it's hilarious. And that was something that marked a great memory in her life. There was that deer head that was stolen, and my Bible that I had marked and made notes in for years. And that was in my briefcase that evidently they thought had something of great value in it. It had something of the greatest value in it, but I doubt they read it. And it still makes me mad about that. It'd be hard in that, and it was hard. Boy, we cried all the way home because we'd remember what else was stolen and what about this? And then the kids would look for it. No, it's gone. Then we'd cry again. We cried from San Antonio all the way to Elk. It was a mess. It hurts. It hurts to have something taken from you. It really does. It hurts to have something taken from you. But you know what wasn't taken? Our life, our vehicle. We had insurance. I was glad I didn't leave the kids in there to run in real quick. They would have been in the vehicle. We did that all the time. I mean, as they were older, don't turn me into CPS. They were old enough to do that. But I mean, count your blessings. It was a blessing. Maybe what we should do as Christians is focus more on what we have rather than what we don't. And we have the greatest thing of all. God, give us all peace. And let's honor the possessions of one another. Judd's going to lead us in a song. If we can serve any of you through prayer, encouragement, lead you to the Lord, we'd be honored to do that. Let's all stand and sing.